Well, good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here, and I would be remiss as a Chiefs fan to not mention that it is a Super Bowl tonight, so go Chiefs. So we'll start out with that. Today, I would just kind of want to continue along with what Dylan talked about last week with finding. He found patience through his testimony, and what I've found is that we all have a calling. We all have a purpose, and that so that's what I'm planning on talking today, and I think it's important to say that we all have a story, and it may be different for every one of us, but we all have a similar story and that we can identify through the salvation that Jesus has provided for us. And that without that, we'd kind of be lost. So with that being said, I'd like to kind of just start with my testimony. And so a little bit about me. I'm from Northern Missouri. I'm not your normal Ozark student. I'm 27 years old, decided to go back to school late, but so I grew up in a Christian home, grew up going to church, just kind of an interesting thing, just something we did on Sundays. And when I turned 18, it was just kind of figure out, I didn't want to do it, be on the farm anymore, so Dad kind of said, figure out what you're going to do. And so I decided to join the United States military, and so I did that for 8 years, and through that, I got a special privilege to work with people that were in the military and to serve in a ministry capacity with those people. So that was really rewarding, and through that I just learned more about God and God's intentionality and how we can, through our relationship, begin to speak through that and spread the gospel and just change people's lives. So the important thing that I figured out is that we all have a calling. So regardless of what job we have, we're a lawyer, a doctor, we all have the same calling, and that's to spread the good news. And so our text today is going to come from Acts 4, 18 through 20. And it says, then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the time of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judge. To listen to, as for us, we cannot stop speaking all about what we have seen and heard. So it's important to not only read this text and understand that they're saying, you know, that we can't stop conveying the gospel, but it's also important to understand the context of which this is being said. See, just days before this, Peter and John were in, had just healed a lame man at the temple. He was just a beggar, and at that time, if you were a beggar, you were given a special robe, and that's all you were allowed to do. You didn't have an opportunity to go find work. You were just stuck to being a beggar. And so, and he was an older man, so it's important to understand that what they had done is just changed the course of life for somebody that lived their whole life in one identity. And then once they found God, they had found these men have come into the temple and healed him and changed his whole entire identity, changed his life through the power of Christ. And so that's an important thing. And to continue with some of the cultural stuff, they're on trial right now. So they've been in jail. The Jewish people are really upset with the fact that they've just healed this man. How can this be, you know? So they're actually on trial. And before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin are just kind of like, okay, we're going to let you go because we don't really have any basis to punish you under Roman law, but you can't stop talking about the gospel. And so they come back with an adamant response, for we cannot stop speaking all in which we have seen and heard. See, I think the importance in this text right here is the words cannot. If you miss the word cannot, we as a church will never understand how important it is that we spread the gospel forever. This doesn't die. This doesn't stop. And so, therefore, if we miss it, what are we really doing? We're doing a disjustice to ourselves and this book right here. So we need to focus on that and just understand that even though we may pass on that we need to spread the word so that it continues throughout the generation, so the next generation can talk about it. And as it's important to notice something that I discerned when looking in this text and just kind of doing my sermon study this week is that I got from this text is that even though we may have different jobs, like somebody may be a firefighter, myself a pastor, or my past job in the military, we all have the same calling. We all have this calling here laid out in 42, speaking all of which we have seen and heard, speaking the good news of God, speaking the gospel, spreading the truth. And if we fail to do that, then we're failing to do what our foundations are built on as a church, as the bride of Christ. All this magic imagery that we hear all the time, this beautiful imagery of us as a church, as a people. And if we don't do that, then what are we really doing? We're falling short of what God has called each and every one of us to do. And I think it's also important to know that with our individual calling, it's important to realize that we are called to that position, and that's God's calling. So we shouldn't try to change what God called us to do. I mean, you could take somebody that's a pastor that's spreading the word and somebody that's a manager at Burger King, and they both have the same job. They're doing the same capacity. They're both spreading the gospel. One's doing it by standing in front of a pulpit on Sundays and speaking to the congregation, and the other one's doing it by speaking life and truth and just pouring into young kids at a fast food chain, you know? It's all the same, and it's all just as important as we look into our future endeavors. And I think it's also important to know that we can't exactly challenge God's calling for us, that we need to realize that God's given us this calling, and it's given it to us for a reason. So our second text is going to come out of Isaiah 29, 16, and it says, "You turn things upside down as if the potter were sought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'You did not make me'? Can the pot say to the potter, 'You know nothing'?" Can we really question God's calling for us as a congregation, as a people, as He's told us, this is your job, this is what I want you to do? So if we fail, then we're doing exactly what this writer and Isaiah, what they're saying here, we're questioning God, and that just doesn't work. Dr. Shane Wood at Ozark, he's an amazing professor, and he had this to say, "Do not be mad at the role you are being asked to play." And that's an important thing, an important statement, a powerful statement, I think, that we need to understand that God's given us a role and we can't question it. And through studying, God kind of just gave me this to speak to you guys, and it says, I came up with this little fancy, I guess, Ozark quote, as we like to say. "See, the value is not what our worth is according to our own perspective of value, but our value lies in how God views us. If we really are His child, if we follow the imagery in like Genesis 1:26, it says we are made in the image of God, then obviously He loves us. He places an extreme value, because you're not going to make something. You can think about your own child. If you have your own child, you place your value, your identity into that child. You pour what your values, what your thoughts are. So if God's going to do that for us, and we're the child of Christ, the child of God and the future generations of the kingdom, then obviously He's given us that calling for a reason. He's poured into us to create that as our calling. See, and I thought about it this way. See, I don't know about you, but if God was willing to sacrifice His one and only Son, then He must find us pretty stinking valuable. So I thought that, you know, obviously if he's willing to go to that extreme, then he finds us valuable. So I'd like to give some practical applications for this message, and then we'll just kind of go through there. See, I think the first thing important here is that we understand that our earthly jobs are important, that our main priority is to convey the gospel. And I think that there's two important ways that we can do that, and that one is living our lives to do that, and then the other is proclaiming it or talking about it. And I think they're equally important. I served on staff with an organization called the Navigators for a while, and they walked us through both. And I think that they're equally important, but just like a wheel on a tire, an old wagon wheel, if one spoke's broken, then the whole thing goes kaput. As my grandmother used to say, you wouldn't be able to drive down the road if you're missing a spoke. It would just all fall apart. And so there's a certain thing that if you picture this us as the body of Christ and you put us on a wagon wheel, all of us at a wheel, we all need to work together or else it's just not going to succeed. And so I wanted to dive into Ephesians 4:32 is the text for how we should live our lives. And it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So I think that's important. See, if we look in this text here, it gives us the understanding that we should be forgiving and compassionate towards one another. And I mean, if I'm being honest with something I struggle with, I get angry, I get tempered, and I have those days where, you know, that you just get wore out. I have a nephew named Jaden, and he loves to come hang out with Uncle Chris, but he just wears me out, frankly. And so he's five, and when I go to my mom and dad's, he might be over there visiting, and every time he finds out I'm at home, he wants to come visit. And so he'll, you know, let's go do this, and then so I'll take him for a ride on the tractor, and then let's go do this or let's go do that. And sometimes I just have to say, you know what, I just need a break. But I think it's important, just little moments like that where I take that time and I show him that compassion to just take him on the tractor, just breeds, just gives him some hope. We actually had kind of a funny conversation. Keep in mind, he's a five-year-old, so his theology is a little interesting. But I had a really interesting conversation with him this week. My sister, he asked my sister the other night who God was. And so she was trying to do her best. She's not a Christian. She was trying to do her best to explain it. And finally she said, I better just call Chris. I better just call Uncle Chris and let him talk to him. So I tried to explain it to him in the most five-year-old way. You know, he's a guy that loves us. You can't see him, but he still loves you. He's always there. And so now my five-year-old nephew is convinced that Jesus is Santa Claus. So we've got some myth-busting and some theology working to do there to kind of help cure that thought. But it was pretty funny, and I got a good chuckle out of that. And just to think how compassionate and heartfelt and just wholesome children are, that they would believe that, you know, he may not understand what it is, but he has that love, and they model, they emulate what we should strive to be, that trusting and loving, compassionate body of Christ. The other important thing that I construed from the text is that we should proclaim the gospel boldly. We see this word boldly throughout the book of Acts when talking about the new church. It's usually after the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so you think about the time that you were baptized and you felt that gift, that fire, that passion of Christianity, that passion to spread the good news. We should keep relighting that fire. I think a lot of times, at least for me, I might go to a really good conference or go hear an awesome chapel sermon on Tuesday. Then I'm writing my sermon all week. I'm doing all this homework and reading my Bible every night and doing all this stuff. And I kind of lose the will to go out and just have a conversation. And something that I find really important is, along with this proclaiming the gospel, is that you don't even have to necessarily proclaim the gospel. Just even if you're somewhere like at the gym or at a restaurant, you just have a nice conversation with somebody. Dylan and I are bowling people. I love to bowl, and so we go to the bowling alley every Friday night, and we have this guy that we just kind of met one night, and his name is Dustin, and Dustin's an interesting guy. He loves to bowl. He's a really good bowler. So he has some mental things, disabilities that have happened in his life, and he's had some real issues. And And so Dylan's dad came down to visit a couple of weeks ago. We were bowling with Dustin, and Dustin was just explaining to us, like, his life story. And I didn't ask Dustin to tell me about how he was picked on when he was a child because he had a mental disability, or how he's had a hard time finding a job, or how wonderful, how it was hard for him to understand the game of bowling and figure it out and become good. Dustin just started sharing those things with me, and I think it's because he felt comfortable, and I also think that it can be related to the fact that I was conveying a message of Christ without just directly saying, oh yeah, here's what the Bible says about this. And I think that's something important to note, that if we fail to understand that through our own actions we need to emulate and spread the gospel, that we're not going to be able to proclaim it correctly. Now, our text for this this application of proclaiming comes from 4:31, and it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, the word underlined boldly, because it's just, it's pretty cool to me that they would go back and speak boldly. And I mean, it's like I said, you see it kind of everywhere, everywhere in the Old Testament. You see it just—it's just a mainstay of the people of that time to go and speak the word boldly, to proclaim the good news of God, to spread the gospel, and to just address what is there. Not only through words, but through action. And I think that if we're going to take that away, that we need to understand that those are both parts of it, and if that we don't do that, then we're going to fail as a church and as a body of Christ. And so I just, it's a short sermon today. I just want to get back and watch my Chiefs play tonight, so I figured I'd keep it kind of fairly short and give everybody a chance to get back and cook their meals and get their parties ready for tonight. But I'd like to conclude today with a challenge that we all, as the body of Christ, take the opportunity to be bold in faith and to proclaim the gospel with both our mouth and our actions. That we remember that it's not about how we go and talk to somebody as much, or it's equally as important as how we go and talk to somebody as how we go and walk day to day, how we might say something to somebody in the drive-thru in the eyes of somebody, but then maybe say something different behind their back. I think it's important that we understand that God's always with us, so He knows no matter where we are, what we're doing, and that those are the key things. Let's pray over the message today, and then we'll continue on. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You for this opportunity to preach here. Thank You for this congregation. Thank You for this Sunday. Thank You for letting our Chiefs win the Super Bowl today. Thank You for just blessing our Sunday, blessing us with this beautiful weather today, and that we may enjoy it. Help us to remember to proclaim Your gospel boldly, to speak Your good news to the people. And help us to remember that body language is just as important as our words, Lord, and that through our actions, people will see just about as much of You as through our mouths. And help us to just to be bold and proclaim Your word and to bring the truth to the ends of the earth. It's in Your heavenly name we pray. Amen.
Nothing else can take you. the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way to bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are here.
Father, we just thank you again for the beautiful day that you give us, and we just thank you for Chris's speech this morning. And I think, you know, if we just listen, that we'll at least pass on what we know to other people about Jesus Christ. And Father, we just thank you so much for the ones that are here today, you know, and we got a good lesson today. And Father, we just thank you so much for what you do for us. Lord, some days we just don't know what you can do, and all we need to do is ask. And Father, we just thank you so much for the everlasting love you give us. We thank you for that cross, Jesus Christ, that you died for us. That we know that we have a life. And Father, we just thank you so much for the eternal life that you give us. Father, we just pray for today that my daughter, that she has a good ride home and safely. And Father, we thank you for the week to coming, that we all have a good week and keep strong. Keep strong in Jesus Christ, and it's all in your name we pray. Amen.